There might be some that are not familiar with this expression, the golden incense altar. And we certainly do not want you or anyone to be mystified or not able to follow the emphasis in this little conference. The origin of this is in the Old Testament with the tabernacle that was built in the wilderness. That was really a kind of tent in two parts. And in this tabernacle, there was an altar for burning incense. And that altar was golden. So that is the literal, factual, historical point of reference. Now we know that so many things related to the tabernacle and other matters in the Old Testament really signify Christ. On the day of His resurrection, the Lord Jesus was with a number of the disciples, and He opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. Then He spoke to them from Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, the things concerning Himself. So although the golden incense altar was a literal altar of gold, that is not our interest. Our interest is in Christ Himself with the church as His body, experiencing the reality of Christ as the intercessor. When we come to the outline, we will see that the golden incense altar signifies Christ Himself, in particular, Christ Himself interceding. So I hope we can have a clear, basic understanding that we are going to consider the vision and experience of the interceding Christ. From the verses we read from the New Testament, we see clearly that Christ is interceding in the heavens. He is praying on our behalf to work out God's intention. We also saw from Romans that the Spirit in us is likewise interceding according to God. This is a particular kind of prayer. And if we are genuine before the Lord and sincere and open in our fellowship, I believe we will all readily acknowledge but we don't know very much about this kind of prayer. The prayer that governs the universe. The prayer that causes God's administration to be carried out on the earth. The fact that we don't know much doesn't mean there's something wrong with us. It means that there's a realm for our spiritual learning and experience that we're entering into together. Now, I have a particular sense on how the Lord is directing me to present the four messages. And I'll proceed this way. approximately the first third of the four messages will not be directly on the golden incense altar, but on prayer itself. We need to address certain crucial matters related to prayer itself. Otherwise, there'll be no way for us to have a particular kind of prayer that is totally focused on God's operation in the universe and His will being done on the earth, on the enemy suffering loss, and on God's purpose being fulfilled. Now, at this juncture, I can only make a request. That's all I can do. The rest is up to you and the Spirit of reality. What I'm going to ask us to do is to reconsider the very foundation of what prayer is. To go all the way back to the beginning. To be willing to be humbled, to be enlightened, and to be adjusted by the Lord's Spirit, so that God Himself will recognize our prayers as prayers that are really prayers. Probably, just about everybody on the whole earth knows what prayer is. Even the atheists, they would say, well, prayer is when some religious people who believe there's a God ask their God to do something. That's prayer. There are some truly dear and earnest Christians that have gone beyond that. One even wrote a famous book. Prayer is conversing with God. Do you think that the God of heaven and earth would say, that's right, that's exactly what I understand prayer to be? I want you to ask me to do stuff. It's all about the stuff you want me to do. It's all about you, in other words. It's focused on you. What you need, what you want, what you're going through. And it's also good that you want to converse with me. When Paul in Ephesians 3 knelt down in his jail cell and prayed for the prayer of experience, do you think he was just conversing with God? Do you think he was just saying, I'd like to talk to you about something. I've been meaning to bring this up. Do you think he's just asking God to do things like, could I have a little lighter chain? Could I have a softer bed? Could I have organic food? Paul is in another realm, fully one with the triune God and mingled with the triune God, and offering a prayer that God will say, That is what I've been waiting to hear. That is a prayer. Regarding human matters, but especially regarding spiritual matters, we have natural concepts about everything, simply because we're human. You hear the word prayer, and then your mind, it goes into gear, and you have a certain feeling, a certain impression. This is what prayer is. God is omniscient. He just knows everything. I don't even think He has to count the number of prayers. So many requests, conversations, and none of it's prayer, according to God. I did as much research on a certain kind of book on Amazon that I had the heart for, and I finally had to stop. I just wanted to see if I enter the word prayer as the subject and did a search for books published this year on prayer, what would I find out? There were about 800 of them. I didn't want to go through 79 frames, so I stopped. And not one of them had anything to do with what prayer really is. I cannot, and I will not, go into the background for this. But under the Lord's sovereign arrangement, I've been experiencing something. And in my own life before the Lord, I'm considering from the very beginning, what really is prayer? Why have I been praying about a certain matter thousands of times for almost 19 years and nothing has happened? Now I realize maybe I haven't been praying at all. Not only does the Lord not answer it, He may not even hear it. So I am thankful personally for the opportunity to go to the Lord, poor in spirit, and to ask Him and to search the Word and to be perfected by the ministry of the age concerning what is prayer. I don't want to just be asking the God of heaven and earth to do this or that for me and call it prayer. I'd like to know what the Lord Jesus was really doing when He prayed. He was a man of prayer. I'd like to know what Paul was experiencing as he was praying in the name of the Lord Jesus in the mingled spirit. In whatever time remains in my journey, I would like to offer prayers that are really prayers. In order for us to know what prayer is according to God and His Word, we need the veil covering our mind in relation to prayer to be uplifted. To be uplifted. That's what revelation is, according to the Greek word. It's to lift the veil. And our natural concepts and our religious notions are the veil. Maybe prayer is very different from merely crying out to God to do something. I don't have a job. I'm not in good health. I lost my health insurance. I cry out to God. Here, let me say, although it may appear contradictory, yet it's not. In a sense, asking God for things, crying out to God, begging God to do something, and conversing with God, that's prayer. In a natural sense. And some may be wondering, well, what about Paul's word? This is the danger of knowing the Bible, because the enemy can use it in your head to resist the truth. Paul said, don't be anxious. Make your request known to him. That's right. But there's a context for this. And this kind of prayer needs to be linked to something higher. Then we're in another realm. So although we recognize that in your contact with the Lord, there's something in your heart, you ask Him for this, that's a kind of prayer, naturally understood. Or you just want to have a conversation with Him, usually one-sided, right? Usually one-sided. Anyway, that's prayer. But having said that, I'd like to set all of that aside and ask of the Lord, of the Word, and of the ministry of the age, what is prayer? Brother Nee, what did you understand by prayer? Brother Lee, in the book, Lessons on Prayer, it seems you said things I never read anywhere else. What is your understanding of prayer? The reason, insofar as I understand the reason for my own message, that I wanted to give a basic word on prayer and then connect it with the golden incense altar, is that if we're not clear on the basics, we won't work it out. We won't actually have that kind of prayer. And we long to have it. So many saints in their being, when they heard that word, they longed to have it. But what do we do? How do we enter into this? Well, praying with the interceding Christ for all matters, things, and persons that are related to God's will being done on the earth. That kind of prayer requires that we be trained and learning the basic elements of prayer. Then once we have this foundation, we will effortlessly, together, pray in a way we've never known before. So the first thing I would say, and the only thing I would say regarding exactly what prayer is, and I owe all this understanding to others, okay? I open to the Lord, I read the Scriptures, then I go to the gifts given to the saints for our perfecting. So I would say two things about the meaning of prayer. According to God, what are we doing when we're really praying? And let's remember the object of our speaking in praying is none other than the God of heaven and earth. The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The all-inclusive Christ, the life-giving Spirit. No matter what your politics are, if you were given the opportunity to speak with the President of the United States in the Oval Office, arguably the highest position that one can have on the earth regarding government, wouldn't you want to know how to be? How do you talk to a president? Mr. President, or one day, Madam President, who knows? Doesn't matter. Well, let's please be reminded, we're in a dialogue with God. We can't be flip with God. We can't be disrespectful with God. This is not a monologue where we're just pouring out things and when we're done, we say amen. There's a person who has thoughts, feelings, longings, intentions toward us, toward the universe. So what does it mean to pray? To pray is to absorb God. Amen. In the holiest place, live before His face, light of glory through me will shine. Didn't we sing that? That's the holiest place. This is in the glory. Beholding His face, the shining, radiant God in Christ. When we are here in the glory, and the glory is streaming from His face, something enters into us, an element, an essence, is dispensed into us, into our spirit, and we absorb this element. Amen. Kindly be reminded of Moses' experience when he was in the Holy of Holies, beholding the Lord, speaking to him face to face. When he came out, His face was shining. He didn't know, right? He didn't know. But everyone else knew and they were astounded. Even they couldn't bear it. He had to veil himself. This is the result of absorbing God. You may be silent. You may say something. You may sing. There may be a verbal exchange or there may not. But you are contacting the Lord of glory Himself. And you know this because you're absorbing Him. Sometimes while the absorption is taking place, we have a sense deep in our spirit. Other times, we don't realize it till later, or only through the help of others. They had the sense, where have you been? You're so bright. So to ask God for things, to cry out to Him, even to converse with Him, without absorbing Him, isn't really praying. Because in that situation, we haven't contacted the person. Suppose I take, turn my cell phone on, and just say, "Hi, Becky, this is Dad. How was the flight from Austin? You okay?" I'm speaking, but no contact. No sense of a person on the other end. No impact on me from that person. I'd like to have, the Lord knows, I'd like to have a radical turn in my own personal history with the Lord. That every time I pray, I absorb Him.
Amen.
I take Him into me. Brother Lee wrote that hymn, 770. Hallelujah, hallelujah, light of glory through me will shine. Do you think he could write such a hymn and was never before the Lord's face? Could he write such a hymn and the light of glory was not shining through him? The hymn itself is a testimony that to pray is to absorb God. And my brothers and sisters, through the precious blood of Jesus, God's Son, we all have the right to enter with boldness into the Holy of Holies and behold and absorb God.
Amen.
We're all the same redeemed sinners, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
It is this blood, not our improvement, not our efforts. It is this blood that opens the way into the Holy of Holies, so we could contact God and absorb Him.
Amen.
Then there's another thing, and the two together are a complete definition. We sang hymn 784, lines like, listening earnestly to Him. Be impressed with His intention, right? Praying by the inner sense. So to pray is not only to absorb God. Prayer is also to express God from within you. And in that order, I don't know really about your experience, but I would put it as a question. Haven't you had the sense that you want to pray and you need to pray and you have no idea what to say? I just don't know what to say. Actually, this is a sign of progress. When you always know what to say, that's not such a good sign. Then what should we say? What should we express? What would God be pleased to hear from us? Well, as we absorb Him and our inner being is calmed down, our soul, our active soul, which can be so busy in prayer, is calm down. We are absorbing God, contacting Him. We may or not be speaking. We may be singing, whatever. But in essence, we're absorbing God. As a result, we have a sense to express something to Him. We sense the Spirit within impressing us. Say this. Say this. When the Lord prayed on the night before He was betrayed, how did He know what to say? Why did He begin with saying, "Father, glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You"? How did He know to pray, "Father, that they may be one, even as You and I are one"? It's because that in His humanity, there's nothing of Himself there. He is impressed with God's desire. And God's desire became His through the infusion and absorbing. Then He expressed that as His prayer. To express God implies that there's something of the triune God dispensed into you. And it was dispensed into you with the intention that it returned to God as your prayer. You didn't know what to say, but you contact the person, behold Him, love Him, open your being to Him, you absorb Him, you're calm inwardly, then you have the sense. It could be a name. It could be a matter. It could be a situation. Whatever it is, you express that. Maybe, I know this is sensitive, but human life has a sensitive element. You have a sister or a brother. Now you have married. Have prayed thousands of times. Thousands of times. No exaggeration for a spouse. The prayer is focused on the need, the longing for a spouse. But eventually that one realizes that I just can't do this, or at least not in the same way. So this time he or she doesn't begin with this unmet need. He or she begins with God. Absorbing Him. And then there's the sense. Lord, concerning marriage, my prayer is not directly for a mate. My prayer is that Your will be done in this matter, and that it be done for the benefit of God's economy and the body of Christ. That's expressing God. We'll consider this more, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, because we do need to pray about personal matters. We do. We do need to pray concerning our human necessities. Did not the Lord instruct us to pray for daily bread? But Let me point out something obvious, okay? Are you ready? The Lord said, okay, you want to know how to pray? Pray like this. God, give me food. Give me a job. Give me a wife. Heal me of this illness. The prayer began with God. May your name be sanctified. Lord, the earth is filled with blasphemy and cursing and insults of your holy name. I long for your name to be sanctified on the earth.
Amen.
Lord, may your will be done on the earth. As it is in heaven, may it be done. May it be done in Phoenix,
amen,
in Tucson,
amen,
in all the mountain states.
Amen.
And you want to see that happen. It's more important to you than a job or your family or your health. Lord, your kingdom come. Then the Lord in you, because you're listening to Him, He gives you the sense. If I am to live on this earth for your name and your will and your kingdom, I have to exist. I have a daily need. So I'm asking you, Lord, to fulfill my need for your will.
Amen.
I now connect my health, my marriage, my family, my finances, my children, my everything.
Amen.
I now connect it to the heart's desire of God. Now, I finished this part almost. I would round it out this way. I do encourage you to have a little conversation with God about the meaning of prayer. If you have the sense to. Don't do it because you heard a message or because you feel obligated to be a good local church person. You have the sense. So some may pray, Lord, show me what it really means to absorb you. Make this real to me. Give me the experiences I need of absorbing you. Then you may go on to pray, or others may pray, Lord, I'd like to be able to express you. Now the Lord shines on you. You're alone with Him. Then He shines over all of your prayers. Hundreds, thousands of prayers over years and years. He shines on you. The light is penetrating, but the love is there. And He said, all of these prayers, express yourself. Every time you came, you were full of yourself. Now it's so sweet to hear you ask me to train you to express me. I will surely do it. The fact that a fellow redeemed sinner like you and me could write him 770 and 784 clearly indicates we all can learn this. But I believe that only a certain category of saints will learn this. And that is those that are willing to come to the Lord like little children, let go of everything old. It could be decades, decades in their recovery. Let everything go and ask the Lord in simplicity. What does it mean to pray? Do I pray? Lord, teach me to pray. Well, let's just say, and I believe this will happen, the Lord's word will not be in vain. He sent me here under a particular circumstance just to release this into the body. We learn to absorb God. We learn to express God. Now we're at the incense altar. We've been learning how to absorb Him, how to express Him. So now it's not strange for us to be here. And before we do anything else, we absorb Him. We receive His infusion. We allow the prayer that He's praying to enter into us, to become our prayer. And then we express it. Now let's go through the outline to begin to understand the significance of the golden incense altar itself. And I'll emphasize certain matters. Of course, these outlines are a development of the one training outline on this matter. Okay. We need to see a vision of the golden incense altar. I'm not suggesting you have some kind of hallucinatory experience over the weekend, but in your spirit, you see something. You realize something. A mere doctrine of it won't accomplish anything. The incense altar signifies Christ as the intercessor. See, right now, we can't sense it, and there's no need for us to sense it. Our high priest in the heavens is interceding for us. Our names are on His heart. They're on His shoulder. Every one of us. Every one of us, without exception, is dear and precious to Him. The Lord led Peter to write, "Cast all your anxieties on Him, for it matters to Him concerning you." Anything that matters to you matters to Him. That's the kind of person He is. What kind of God He is. And He's interceding for us that we would be saved to the uttermost. And He is doing this for the carrying out of God's purpose in the universe. By His praying, He connects our situation and need, whatever it is, with God's grand will in the universe. In the first epistle of John, John says something like this at the beginning of chapter 2. "My children, I write to you, I write these things to you so that you would not sin. I'm trying to supply you so you won't sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So we shouldn't think, oh, we're under the surveillance of the heavenly CIA. And every mistake and every failure is being written down for a case to be built up against us. Well, We have an advocate. We have a defense attorney. He just realizes he just did that. Father, I'm appealing to you on his behalf. I took care of that. My redemption took care of that. I am representing him before you. I know you are righteous. But I died to fulfill the righteous requirement. And so the Father is happy to hear the intercession of his Son. And then the Spirit moves in us and we just get some kind of feeling. I need to confess this. I was wrong. That's because there's someone praying for you all the time. You wonder, how can you do this with millions of believers? Well, when you're God, you can do things like this. Right? And because you're a man, you can understand the human element. So this intercession is to maintain the relationship between God and His people. Aren't you thankful it's not all up to you? There's someone praying. The incense altar is a type of the person of Christ. The incense altar signifies Christ praying, Christ interceding. The Lord said more than once in the Gospel of John, we need to pray in His name. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you tack on the expression in the name of Jesus at the end. It means you are so one with the Lord, your praying is His praying. He is praying again now in you. Your praying is His praying. You have set aside your own name, yourself. I am so thankful. I say again, right now, Christ is praying. Christ is interceding. But we will, little by little, realize He does not want to carry out this interceding ministry alone. As the head of the body, He wants members of His body on the earth to do the very thing that He Himself is doing. In Acts 12, James was killed. Think that wasn't a trauma for a young church? You come together in a meeting and someone gives an announcement, our brother James has just been martyred by the Romans and Peter's in prison. And Herod's intention is to kill him. Well, prayer was made fervently on behalf of Peter, especially by the sisters, as indicated by Peter's going to Mary's house. Do you think they were just crying and wailing and begging God to release Peter? Please remember, the Lord told Peter how he would die and at what stage of his life, when. He said, when you are old, another will carry you where you do not want to go. By that death, he would glorify God. So the sisters and the other saints, they realize, Lord, you did say to James and John, they will drink of your cup and be baptized with your baptism. You did prophesy they would partake of your death, literally. But that is not your word to Peter. This is outside of your will. We believe the heavens have released Peter. We believe the heavens have bound the Romans, have bound Herod. Now we, in this house, praying, we release Peter. We bind the enemy. But when it was time for Peter to finish his course, no one could pray that way. At least it wouldn't be prayer if you cry out, "Lord, we suffered so much. Give Peter 5 more years. Give him 10 more years. Only those that are natural can pray like that. But the Lord Himself is not praying like that. Rather, the Lord is praying, "Father, it's time for Peter to finish his course. Grace him. Bless him. Empower him. Energize him to finish the course." We are on the verge of touching an awesome spiritual reality with the invitation, not the demand, the invitation for all of us to learn together how to participate. So if a Peter among us is imprisoned, some will know how to intercede. They'll realize this is not the time, this is not the way. The enemy is going to be the loser here. We have the authority to carry out God's administration through our prayers. At other times, a beloved one may be finishing his or her course, and your heart is aching. Yet, you can't pray according to your aching heart. While your heart is aching, your spirit is flowing in response to another kind of prayer.
Amen.
And that is what you pray. Don't you want to learn to do this?
Amen.
Don't feel bad that you're not experienced at this. I'm not either. Don't feel bad you're not that good at this. I'm not either. But I want to learn.
Amen.
I want to see this worked out. 3, the incense altar is the place from which the activities at all the other places in the tabernacle and the outer court are motivated. So much is going on at the altar, at the laver, at the table of the bread of the presence, at the golden lampstand, in the ark. So much activity. It's motivated by this kind of prayer. When we have this kind of prayer, hundreds, maybe thousands of young students, young adults all over the earth will be motivated and energized to have an unprecedented consecration of their whole life to the Lord.
Amen.
They had no intention. They got high-paying jobs, this and that. There's something moving in them. They can't deny it. What's motivating them? Christ was praying. We were praying. All kinds of things are happening. Christ's interceding life motivates us to experience the altar, the laver, the table, the lampstand, and the ark. The whole matter doesn't rest on your energy level, on whether or not you're motivated. The fact that now you're 49, you were not red hot like when you were 19. I would never go back to be where I was at 19. Or even a youngin' at 59. Let's go on from where we are. We don't need the motivation of natural energy. But we welcome the motivation that comes from the operating God responding to the prayer at the golden incense altar.
Amen.
We don't tell others what to do. We don't interfere. We don't control. We just pray according to God. My older son, for years and years, he wanted to be a pilot. He studied to be a pilot. He was a pilot. He was a flight instructor. He wanted to do this. Then one day, 1993, he shocks me. He said, "Dad, I'm thinking seriously of going to the full-time training." Training? You want to fly jets? He said, "I'm thinking seriously about this." Then he went and he graduated. And he married a trainee. What motivated him to go? Well, some serving ones with the young people prayed for him and others. And then, boom, 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 the motivation comes. Now, if you send me a text, "Brother Ron, please don't pray for me because I don't want to be motivated." Well, I can't promise either to pray or not pray. Praying or not praying is up to the Lord. But if I have the burden to pray for you to be motivated, we're going to pray and you're going to be motivated. I believe we're heading into the most exciting era of the Lord's recovery in its history in the United States.
Amen.
When we see this actually happen, it's not just words on an outline. It's not simply an interpretation. It is something we're entering into little by little. Now we come to the heart of this outline concerning administration, the carrying out of the heavenly government. The executing center of God's administration in the universe is the incense altar in Revelation 8. The throne is the center. The decisions are made on the throne, but the executing center is actually not the throne. It's the incense altar. It's the interceding Christ. The throne makes the decision. God on the throne makes the decision. It's the prayer that we offer with Christ that executes that. Aren't we in one crazy, wacky election season in this country? It's the nuttiest I've seen in my whole life, and I can go back to Truman, you know, and Eisenhower. I mean, just look who might be the candidates. Well, we should pray.
Amen.
You going to pray as a Republican? You think God wants to hear the prayers of Republicans? You going to pray as a Democrat? Or pray as a Libertarian? God, the redeeming God, has made a decision as to who should be the next president. And we know from Daniel 4, I would like to text this. Sorry to say, I'm not against him or for him. I wish I could text this to the Donald. Read this verse from Daniel 4, uttered by Nebuchadnezzar, because he got a revelation that God sets on the throne the basest, the lowest of people. So he might do it in this case. We might have a loud mouth like this in the Oval Office. I'm actually apolitical. Or we may have the most unreal and false female in North America. Somebody's going to be president. I want to learn to be able to pray apolitically. Lord, you raised up this country for your interests on the earth.
Amen.
You raised up this country for your recovery.
Amen.
You are the Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen.
You make the choice. We are one with you, whoever he or she may be.
Amen.
Then we're outside of politics, carrying out God's administration.
Amen.
This, the potential here is beyond measure. The book of Revelation is a book of God's administration, a book of divine execution. This book reveals the throne of God and the administration of God throughout the universe. Who knows how to pray concerning ISIS? Pray with authority to pick up the Lord's feeling about this. Instead of sitting back, letting the enemy run rampant. Lord, we're here executing your administration. Lord, please train us to pray like this.
Amen.
In the book of Revelation, a book of God's executing, we see that the divine administration, the divine executing, is always carried out by the incense altar. In other words, God on the throne makes a decision. He does not execute it until we pray.
Amen.
He will allow even very bad things to happen because he will uphold this principle. We'll see this tomorrow probably. Nobody's praying. So I will not just do it all by myself. I want my church to execute my decision. Oh, the power of this, the potential of this. To be able to come together for 45 minutes or an hour with other saints to forget everything of our personal need. And for 1 hour, care for God's operation in the universe.
Amen.
And for what God wants to do on the earth. B, in Revelation 8:3, the incense altar is directly in front of the throne of God's authority. Then Christ, as another angel, comes and adds his incense to the prayers of the saints. Message 4 will be on incense. We're praying, but Christ adds an element called incense that makes the prayers acceptable. This incense then ascends to God at the throne of administration, and God answers the saints' prayers. When the prayers of the saints ascend to God with the incense of Christ, God executes the policies of his administration. I say again, in this age of the church, God does not act unilaterally, all by himself. That is why Matthew 18 says, you bind what the heavens have bound. You loose what the heavens have loosed. The heavens have bound. The heavens bound, Jihad John. When the earth prays about this despicable evil person, not begging, we bind him. We bind the enemy's use of him. He must stop. There'll be a very swift reaction because now we are executing what the throne decided. But if we just say, who are we? God has all the authority in Christ. He'll do whatever he wants. No, he will do whatever he wants when we want what he wants.
Amen.
and express that as prayer. But if you really want the person God wants to be president, you got to set aside your own politics and pray not as a this or that, but as a member of the body.
Amen.
Okay? Small a, when the prayers of the saints are sent to God with the incense of Christ, God executes the policies of administration. As a result, fire comes down to earth to execute the divine judgments. This is not literal fire, but here's divine energy. There's a verse that says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. Right now, the eyes of the Lord see everything. He knows what's going on among this terrorist group and that evil group. The seven spirits of God can go anywhere they're directed to go. When we pray, the fire of God's energy moves to carry out His will in that manner. This is the prayer at the incense altar. But in order to pray here, we have to learn to pray in our personal life, in our daily life, in our church life, with the same principles. Then they're built up in our being. And now we realize, I'm not coming to this prayer meeting full of my own thoughts, inclinations, opinions. No, I'm here with the saints to absorb God.
Amen.
And as we absorb Him, we will express Him, and that expression will be our cooperating with Christ's intercession.
Amen.
This is going to happen.
Amen.
This is going to happen.
Amen.
If you believe this is going to happen, say amen.
Amen.
Five, Christ's interceding life, His prayer life, is the center of the divine administration and of the execution of His government on earth. It's like the Oval Office. We have our prayer meeting in the heavenly Oval Office.
Amen.
The executing of God's administration is motivated, wow, by the prayers offered to Him from the incense altar. We motivate God to act. So in our fellowship with Him, somehow He communicates to us what He wants to do. Then we want what He wants and we express it as prayer. Then our prayer motivates Him
Amen.
To carry it out. The prayers offered at the incense altar govern the universe. Most of these statements come from Brother Lee's ministry. I know my source. He knew what he was talking about. Brother Lee didn't simply give thousands of messages in the U.S. He prayed like this. He and his wife prayed like this. Offering prayers that govern the whole universe. Now they rest from their labors. I have no idea how they're praying in paradise. What Brother Dick, our dear brother, calls the paradise prayer meeting. I have no idea. But now it's our turn, not to be heroes, so-called prayer warriors, but members of the body learning to do this. How good if all the elders in all the churches, when they come together weekly, I hope they do, for their fellowship, the Lord would lead them. Lord, we're burdened concerning our prayer, our own prayer as leading ones, the prayer of the church. Here we have this statement from your ministry. The prayers offered at the incense altar govern the universe. Lord, give us prayers that govern the universe.
Amen.
What if all the elders, all the leading ones, all the co-workers, all the full-timers, as a pattern to all the saints, did this all over the earth? What kind of prayers would there be day and night? Thank the Lord for time zones. While some are sleeping, others are interceding.
Amen.
I don't know how this message is affecting you, but I know how it's affecting me. It's strengthening my faith.
Amen.
This is going to happen.
Amen.
This is a picture of the incense altar being the administrating throne of God, for God to execute His judgment and His administration. It is crucial for us to see that the execution of God's administration is motivated by the prayers offered to Him from the incense altar. 6. After His resurrection and ascension, the individual Christ has become the corporate Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 12:12. Thus, before God today, not only is the individual Christ interceding, but the corporate Christ, the head with the body, is interceding as well.
Amen.
And we have Acts 12. You remember what happened in Acts 12? Angels, the faithful angels, they don't act on their own. They carry out God's command. So the church is praying, we don't know the exact words, the expressions, is not recorded. But one angel comes, Peter's sleeping, backs him in the thigh, says, "Get up, we're going out of here." The chains fall off, everyone else is sleeping, the gate opens by itself, angel disappears from view. Peter realizes this is not a dream, this is really happening. And then what happens soon after that? Herod, the killer of James, is giving a political speech to a group of citizens that they weren't getting along well with him. So they were trying to appease him. He's speaking. They said, "The voice of a god and not of an angel." And he's saying, "That's right. I am one eloquent fellow." And immediately an angel struck him and he died. What motivated them? You think an angel just decided on its own? I think I'm kind of tired up here. I'm going to go down and see what's happening in Jerusalem. Or I don't like those Romans. I'm going to whack one of them. They can't do that. They are our servants. And when God says, "Smite Herod," the angel doesn't say, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Okay, feeling comfortable, that's for this strange generation. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable. Everything is about me feeling comfortable. Yes, amen. We strike him. That incident shows there's a government in this universe. And the prayer of the church motivates the throne to carry out that administration. But we have to learn to utter in prayer the impressions we received from the Lord. Understandably, 19 years ago, when it was made public that Brother Lee had a terminal illness, thousands and thousands of saints prayed for healing, prayed for more years to minister. That's understandable. But allow me to say, this is in retrospect, deep within, I couldn't pray that way. Because there was a sense, the Lord's will is to take him. And one of Brother Lee's last words is recorded in the document. One day he said, "I think the Lord wants to take me." If the Lord decides to take a saint, my brothers and sisters, who are we to dissent with the God of heaven and earth. No matter what our human feeling is, no matter what, the Lord must have, brothers and sisters, solidly in the Spirit, so that even though in their soul, in their human feeling, this is their situation, how can it not be? They're human. How could the elders at Ephesus not weep when they heard that they would not see Paul's face again? But at the same time, they're not governed by their weeping soul life, but by resurrection power in the mingled spirit. And they pray and express from their mingled spirit what they have absorbed from the Lord. Then the prayer will be from another angle. Lord, prepare your recovery for this tremendous change. Raise up the group of blending brothers that Brother Lee wrote about. We pray for the preservation of your recovery, for the faith of all the saints. So we're learning. Today the intercessor is not merely Christ Himself, but is Christ with His body. Christ the head is interceding in the heavens, and the church, the body, is interceding on earth. As the members of Christ and parts of the body Christ, we cooperate with Christ in His ministry of intercession. It's not ours. It's His. We are one with Him. For the executing in His intercession, in our prayers of intercession. So again, we have the verses from Romans 8:34. Christ is interceding. He's at the right hand of God, interceding for us. But we are here. If we are making progress, we'll be able to say, regarding this matter or that matter, I don't know what to pray. I can just sigh. I can just groan. But deep within, the Spirit is interceding according to God. The Spirit. We're beyond words. There's a time when all the pretty words and all the flowing words are vain. We're beyond that. We're not questioning the words of Scripture or of the ministry. I'm questioning the routine religious use of them. We don't know what to say, but deep within, our whole being is involved. We are travailing in prayer, and the Spirit is interceding in us. And the interceding of the Spirit is the interceding of the Son in the heavens. It's not just the Son in the heavens. It's the Lord's Spirit in us. So there should be times when our prayer ministry is costly, because we are in a war and we are in a struggle, and we are struggling against the enemy for God's will to be done on the earth. The Lord is interceding. The Spirit is interceding, and we are here as cooperating vessels. Lord, we're here to labor with you in prayer for this matter to be carried out. Amen. As members of Christ and parts of the body of Christ, we cooperate with Christ in His ministry of intercession, carrying out His intercession in our prayers of intercession. I repeat, all of our prayers that we could pray from our soul have stopped. Our soul is a channel of the Spirit. It no longer is allowed to act alone in praying. That's what has to stop. The soul is the organ of expression. The soul expresses what is in the Spirit. The Spirit receives the impressions. The soul, with its thought and its feeling, expresses them. But that's very different from the soul itself praying by itself. This kind of so-called praying must come to an end, so that the real praying in the Spirit can thrive and prevail. If we have a clear view of the incense altar, our prayer life will be revolutionized. And we will pray for the executing of God's purpose, for the carrying out of the divine administration, and for the dispensing of God's supplying grace. Well, this is a full word tonight. I'm so thankful in the Lord for all of you, for your heart to come here, many of you to travel. Now we're here, I believe, under the Lord's present speaking, that He can gain something in us this weekend for the whole body.
Amen.
That we may learn to participate in Christ's ministry of intercession. So please, if you're so inclined, pray with someone sitting nearby for about a minute or a minute and a half in whatever language you want to pray in. If you don't have that inclination, just sit there and some of us will pray and make all kinds of holy noise as we're praying. Then our brother will direct the speaking to confirm the word. Okay, please pray. Just let the Lord flow in prayer.